Lesson number 20 in the series of New Testament survey over the book of 1 Peter. In preparation, read the 5 chapters. As we look at the New Testament, we find teaching for local churches, for leaders of these churches, and now teaching for Jewish believers from the Jewish perspective. Hebrews is about salvation. The next books are about the Christian life. James writes about their conduct. Peter writes 2 books about their suffering. Many today are teaching the church has replaced the Jews, that the promises made to them are now for us. They use the book of 1 Peter to prove it. They say, Peter is writing to the church, all believers, and showing we now have the blessings of the Jews. So it is important to see the words Peter uses to describe the ones he is writing to. In chapter 1, verse 1, he says they are God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered. God's elect. We could also translate it as God's chosen people. These are phrases Jewish people use to describe themselves throughout all the Old and New Testament, and even today. God's elect refers to the Jewish people. The next phrase is translated in our Bibles as strangers, foreigners, aliens, or exiles in the world. This is a Greek word meaning to live alongside of Gentiles. For the Jews, there were just 2 groups of people in the world, Jews and Gentiles. This was a word the Jews used to talk about themselves. They were strangers or exiles when they lived alongside of that other group, the Gentiles. Scattered or dispersed is the Greek word diaspora. It is a term that was used in Peter's day and is still used today. It is used specifically for Jews living outside the land of Israel. In the New Testament, Peter is called an apostle to the Jews. It says he was given a ministry to the Jews. In addition, the style of writing in this book is Jewish. There's continual repetition, picture language, and circular writing. Peter mentions various topics at the beginning, develops them throughout the chapters, and mentions them again in the last chapter. In other words, he ends as he begins, circular writing. So looking at all these facts, we see Peter, a Jewish man, is writing specifically to Jewish believers who are living among the Gentiles. Their location is mentioned in the rest of the verse. Verse 1, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Take the time to look at a map in the back of your Bible or in a Bible atlas. Find a map of Paul's journeys and look for modern-day Turkey or Asia Minor in the upper right-hand side of the map. The names that Peter mentions are the northern provinces of Asia Minor. To know why Peter is writing Jewish believers in these provinces, we need to review Peter's life. He was the leader of the local Jerusalem church for 12 years, from 31 to 42 AD. Then he was put in prison, but God miraculously freed him and told him to leave Jerusalem immediately. Peter goes into hiding. While there, he wonders about what new ministry he will have. He thinks about the thousands of Jewish believers scattered throughout the Roman Empire. For the last 12 years, since the day of Pentecost, there has been no written instruction for these new believers. They need to know more information about Jesus. They need to develop their faith. God uses Peter's concern and sends him to northern Asia Minor. He will be completely safe because Herod, who had put Peter in prison, only had authority in the land of Israel. While Peter will make occasional trips to Antioch and Jerusalem, he will spend the next 20 years in these five provinces from 42 to 62 AD. His ministry will be with these Jewish believers. During some of this time, 47 to 49 AD, Paul established churches in southern Galatia, working mainly among the Gentiles. The next year, 50 AD, Paul and his team revisited them. From the book of Acts, we know they planned to go from there north to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit stopped them. There's no reason given. Now, as we come to the book of 1 Peter, we have a clue. Peter either already had or would have a ministry in that province. Paul was not needed. So the Holy Spirit sent Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, west into Europe. Peter works throughout the five provinces of northern Asia Minor for some 20 years. He then moves to Rome and began a ministry with Jewish believers there. He will have this ministry for some 6 years, from 62 to 67 AD. 2 years after starting this ministry in Rome, that is, in 64 AD, part of Rome was burned and Nero blames the Christians. This begins tremendous persecution, first in Rome, and then by the beginning of the following year, it spreads throughout the empire. Peter thinks of the Jewish believers he taught back in Asia Minor. By now, there is a second generation of Jewish believers who are still new in their faith. They will not understand why they are suffering. For sure, they will not know how to respond. Some of the men will be tempted to start a rebellion against Roman leaders in their cities. Others will be discouraged. All of them will question why God is not protecting them from suffering. So in 65 AD, from Rome, Peter dictates a letter to encourage these new believers and answer their questions. He uses a Jewish man named Silas to write it down. Having said that Peter is writing the letter from Rome, we need to look at chapter 5, verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13. Peter says, "She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings." Some people believe Peter is writing from literal Babylon on the Euphrates River. However, we know from history that Peter spent the last years of his life in Rome. With the severity of persecution in Rome, Peter is keeping a low profile or has even gone into hiding within the city so he can continue his ministry. To send out a public letter saying he's in Rome would quickly get him arrested. For the Jews, the name Babylon was always connected with rebellion against God. It started with the Tower of Babel. It was the Babylonian Empire that took the Jews into exile and destroyed them as a nation. In history, if Jews needed a code word to talk about opposition to God, they used the name Babylon. Most Bible scholars believe the name Babylon, in this verse, is the code name for Rome. "She who is likewise chosen sends you greetings," would be the Jewish believers in Rome. Putting this all together, Peter, in 65 AD, writes new Jewish believers in Asia Minor who are suffering for their faith. He explains what they should know, how they should live, and how they will survive. Throughout the Bible, Jews used words that had specific meaning to them. Later, when these words were translated and used by other cultures, the Jewish meaning got lost in translation. For example, the word hope. According to the Unabridged Dictionary, the first meaning of hope as a noun is a desire for some good with a slight expectation. Definition 3, which is an older meaning, says hope is confidence in a future event with the highest degree of expectation. Definition 5 says an archaic or really old-fashioned meaning is trust or reliance. This is the original meaning of the Greek. The dictionary also says that synonyms for hope are expectation or confidence. In the Hebrew and Greek of the Bible, hope, when used as a noun, always means certainty. Peter knows his readers are suffering because of their faith in Jesus. The Roman government has taken some of their homes and possessions. Some have even died for their faith. These Jewish believers are thinking about the hardships they are going through and all they have lost. So Peter starts his letter by drawing their attention to God. He reminds them of what they still have and why they can praise God. He starts verse 3 with the Greek word eulogy, meaning praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again, meaning they had been born physically the first time. Now they've been born spiritually. Born to a living certainty through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Living certainty means certainty about life because of Jesus' resurrection. Peter is making a contrast in these verses. Their life here on earth is uncertain. They may lose all their material goods. They may even lose their physical life. So they need to know what they cannot lose. The Roman government can never take their relationship with God in this life. The Roman government can never take the certainty of their life with God in eternity. Their spiritual relationship with God is protected by God's power. But that raises a question. Since he is protecting their spiritual life, why is he not protecting their physical life and physical possessions? Obviously, God could stop the Roman government from persecuting them. Peter explains why God is allowing the suffering. Verse 7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Within the local churches, there had been true believers and those who were only pretending. With the persecution, the pretenders have left. The persecution has revealed those with genuine faith. In chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, Peter gives three things Jewish believers should know while they are suffering for their faith. First of all, they need to know the things they cannot lose. They cannot lose their relationship with God in this life and the certainty of their life with God in eternity. Then, they need to know the reason for their suffering. It is to purify their faith and purify the local churches. It is also to show the value and genuineness of their faith. These believers also need to know their reward for faithfulness in times of persecution. They will receive praise, glory, and honor at the reviewing stand of Jesus in the future. Peter next tells them how they should live. Just because their salvation is secure does not give them the freedom to live carelessly. He starts with their personal life. According to chapter 1, verse 15, they are called to be holy. Peter began this letter saying they were elect or chosen. The Greek word also means called. Throughout the book, Peter will remind them they are not chosen or called so they can be exclusive or superior. They are called for 5 reasons. In this verse, they are called to be holy. In chapter 2, verse 9, they are called out of darkness into God's light. Chapter 2, verse 21, called to suffer persecution. Chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, called to have godly qualities. And chapter 5, verse 10, called to have spiritual glory throughout eternity. They were called for a reason. Here in chapter 1, verse 15, they are called to be holy. At the end of verse 17, Peter says they should conduct themselves with fear. The word reverent, that is in some of your translations, is not in the Greek. Peter in this verse is talking about literal fear. When these Jewish believers go through persecution, they should be afraid to think they can remain holy or faithful on their own. Peter is writing from experience. Years earlier, in self-confidence, he had told Jesus, "I will never deny you." Then on that fateful night, Peter learned that under pressure, he was weak. So he reminds the Jews, live with healthy fear, depending on God's power to be faithful. Never think you can do it on your own. Holiness and dependence on God. They should also make choices to do what is right. Chapter 1, verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. As believers, they really emotionally care about each other. On that basis, Peter now commands them, love one another earnestly. Notice, love is commanded. That means he's not talking about emotion or feeling. Love when commanded means do what is right. The word earnestly, deeply, or fervently is from a Greek verb meaning to stretch out the hand. When other believers lose possessions, they should be willing to reach out and help, encourage, and be a friend. This may put them in danger, but it is how they should live. Do what is right. Be holy, dependent on God, do what is right. Peter uses picture language for the final command. Chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Human babies are always hungry and crave milk. New believers are hungry to know more about God's Word. The more they learn and study, the more they will spiritually grow. Peter has explained how they should live. In going through persecution, in their personal life, they need to be holy, dependent on God, doing what is right, and spiritually growing. Their relationship with others will involve six groups. For three of them, Peter gives one set of instructions. They need what our Bibles translate as submission. Here's another word that Peter uses in the first century with one meaning, but in our day and culture, it means something very different. According to the dictionary, submission means domination, inferiority, to give up one's ideas, personality, and ability, to be or do what someone else demands. That is destructive. God does not want that for anyone. Peter is talking to believers going through persecution for their faith. He uses the word submission to mean accept the situation rather than lash out with words or actions. To survive persecution, they cannot be having battles and arguments with everyone around them. Chapter 2, starting with verse 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish or ungodly people. Jewish believers had no way to resist the Roman Empire. They had no opportunity to vote or run for office. So Peter says they should accept or cooperate with the Roman government and its laws as long as possible. When it was no longer possible, they would have to go into hiding. Peter writes this during the persecution of believers under Nero. If all believers had resisted Nero, they would all have been killed. The gospel message would come to an end. So for the Lord's sake, for the sake of the gospel message, all believers should accept the government as long as they are not required to disobey God's laws. The next group that needs to accept their situation are the Jewish domestic slaves. They work in the homes of their masters. Jewish believers are being treated unjustly because of their faith. Peter says they are to show respect to their masters, meaning to accept the situation and not retaliate. Because they are servants, they have no choice. They cannot leave. In chapter 3, Peter writes to wives and husbands about respecting each other, accepting rather than fighting. He first writes to believing wives who have unbelieving husbands. She has been trying to win her unbelieving husband with outward beauty. Peter is not telling her to neglect her appearance, but he's saying her main focus should be on her inner beauty, her attitude. She should have strength of character, but is to show her respect by not trying to fix him, to nag him, or to act superior. In Peter's day, Jews did not abuse their wives, so he can make this command. In our day, because abuse is common, we need to have clarity. The wife cannot respect, accept, or even stay in a marriage if she or the children are being abused. After writing to believing wives, Peter writes to believing husbands with believing wives. Chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are joint heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. A husband should respect the physical limitation of his wife in regard to her strength and stamina. As they are going through persecution, he needs to go the extra mile to protect and provide for her when she cannot endure what he can. If he only thinks and prays for his own protection, God will not answer his prayers. Physically, there is a difference between them. But spiritually, they are equals, joint heirs together of God's grace. She is not under him before God, but alongside of him. Husbands and wives will be stronger if they can go through persecution as a team. Jewish believers need to accept their relationships with the government, at work, and at home. They also need to think about their relationships within their local church. In chapter 3, verse 8, our translations have Peter giving a series of commands. But in the Greek, Peter is describing qualities they already have. So I'm going to change the wording to keep it in good English, but also get it as close to the Greek as possible. Chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you, having unity of mind, having sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind, not repaying evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, praising. This is why you were called, so that you may obtain praise. Peter is describing qualities they already have. As they are going through persecution, they should make sure they are fully using these qualities with each other. Peter ends the thought by saying, "This is why you were called, to use these qualities to support and encourage one another." The result will be praise from Jesus in eternity. Once again, the word translated blessing in the Greek is eulogy, praise. Peter next deals with their relationship to society. In this, there will be limitations. Chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the certainty that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. In the first century, Roman Caesars claimed to be God. They demanded worship. In special ceremonies in every city, local leaders required people to bow before a statue of the emperor and say, "Caesar is Lord." Earlier in the letter, Peter said they were to respect the government. However, when government requires believers to violate God's laws, they must refuse. Believers can never say, "Caesar is Lord." They can only say, "Christ is Lord." They should be prepared to give an answer when society and leaders ask why they are refusing. Notice, they are to give an answer when they are asked. In times of persecution, believers should not cause needless suffering by giving answers when they have not been asked. Finally, in their relationship with God, Jewish believers are to do what God wants, even if they are persecuted for not joining in with the crowd. Chapters 1 through 4 explain how Jewish believers should live when they are suffering for their faith. In their personal life, they should be holy, dependent on God, do what is right, and spiritually grow. In their relationship with others, there's to be acceptance with the government, at work, and at home. In their local church, they are to be supportive of the other believers. In society, they are to be discerning when to participate and when to refuse. They are to be obedient to God. Things are going to get worse. In just 5 years, 70 AD, the Romans will destroy Jerusalem, kill 1 million Jews in Israel, and begin killing Jews throughout the empire. Believers need spiritual maturity so they can be calm, evaluate the situation, and pray effectively. They will need to reach out and support each other. They will need to develop and use their spiritual gifts to give encouragement. Society and the government under Nero was evil in every way. Corruption, every kind of immorality, and violence. Yet Peter never commands believers to clean up society and government. According to chapter 4, verse 17, it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. Before God can work in Roman society, he first has to work in the local churches. Before he can cleanse lives in the world, he first has to cleanse the lives of his own people. Spiritual leaders need to look at their lives, their motives, and their ministry. Are they feeding and nurturing the people under their care? Jewish believers, in their anxiety about persecution, should remember how much God cares about them as individuals. Yes, they will suffer. Some will even be martyred for their faith. But God will give each one the grace they need for their situation. Jewish believers are suffering for their faith. Peter has told them what they should know, how they should live, and now finally, how they will survive. They will survive by, first of all, resisting Satan. Chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in the faith. The word be alert or be watchful is the same word Jesus used with Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch, be alert, so you do not enter into temptation. Peter had not been alert. As a result, he denied Jesus. Peter now warns these believers not to make the same mistake. They are to be alert so they can say no to Satan's lies and temptations. They will survive by knowing that believers in other parts of the Roman Empire are standing firm in their suffering. And finally, they need to believe God will provide what they need in their suffering. Verse 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Again, Peter is writing from experience. We can never imagine what he suffered emotionally and spiritually those days after denying Jesus. He did not understand about the resurrection. So when Jesus died, he thought he could never make things right with Jesus. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to him in private, probably in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus restored, mended, and strengthened him. He made him solid in his faith. Now, even though he, Peter, is in constant danger himself, he's able to strengthen and encourage others in their faith. Like the book of James, this letter is specifically for Jewish believers in the Roman Empire. But there is also instruction for us. There is more persecution of believers throughout the world in our day than there was in all of the first century. For faith in Jesus, every day, believers somewhere in the world are beheaded, burned alive, beaten, imprisoned for life, deprived of food and water, or made to watch their children being tortured and then killed. In this country, we have never faced persecution for our faith, but things are changing. Persecution and restrictions against believers is coming. Peter has given instruction how we will survive. Our first responsibility is not to clean up society or the world. It is to let God bring purity to our lives and to our local churches. We as believers need to check out our attitudes and actions. Are they holy? Have we become self-righteous, arrogant, always preaching at everyone? There must be purity. Then we must watch or be alert for Satan's attacks. It is the command that Jesus gave to Peter, and Peter then gave to the Jewish believers. The word watch, be alert, has several ideas wrapped into that one Greek word. It means to wake up your mind and gather the facts you know so you can be aware and on guard. Satan will look for every opportunity to attack us with fear, depression, anger, compromise. The more we know of God's word, the more protection and wisdom we will have. When to be silent, when to speak up, when to cooperate, and when to resist. We also need to believe that God will provide what we need. He will restore us. Once again, the Greek word is rich in meaning. In the first century, among fishermen, the word restore meant to mend their nets. Among doctors, it meant to put in right adjustment. In our day, society and government are determined to remove God's standards and boundaries. When we stand firm, it may affect our financial security. It may turn people against us. However our life may be impacted, as we continue to study His Word, God will make us strong, firm, and steadfast. He will ground us and make us solid in our faith. Finally, God wants us to lay all our anxieties on Him, being assured He knows and He cares for each of us as individuals. Peter says, as we do these things, we will have unlimited supply of God's grace and peace for each situation. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank You that You are in control no matter what others plan or do. Use Your word to give us spiritual maturity, wisdom, and alertness. Teach us how to bring all our fears and worries and put them into your hands. Thank you for your peace and grace, and that you can make us strong, firm, and steadfast. We know it is possible because of Jesus. Amen.